door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and the music that ushers us into the show and leads us out of the show was created by my friends Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee of Lyra Project. You can hear all of their beautiful music, including their CD called Goddess, by going to their website, which is Lyra, L-Y-R-A, project.com. So tonight's guest is somebody that I just met this summer, but we've been writing for the same website for me at least about a year, and I'm not sure how long he's been writing for the Good Men Project, which is a conversation no one is having, but now I think everybody is having about what it means to be a man or to have men in your life, which really would appeal to everybody. My guest calls himself the marriage boss. So I invite Rick Gabrielli to tell us what that means. What does it mean to be a marriage boss?
Hi, Edie. Thanks for having me. This is so exciting.
Oh, my pleasure.
So the marriage boss is a guy who wants to help other men open up and communicate more often and more effectively with our women or our partners. And it started as a result of me wanting to have better communication with my wife, who I'm with, married to 27 years and with almost 30. And I figured if I had this issue in communicating, especially about money and some of the harder conversations, that I thought maybe other people were having the same issue. So I decided to make my passion helping couples communicate more often and more effectively.
Wonderful. So with your wife, it's kind of a, your home is kind of a lab setting, would you say? You know, you practice
totally
with each other what you teach.
Totally, 100% of the time. And if she was on this call right now, she would be rolling her eyes and saying, oh, my God, I am so glad, Edie, that you're taking him away from me for at least one half hour.
Oh. Well, I had the chance to meet Carol back in, was it in August in New York?
Yeah, yep.
And she's a sweetheart, so you guys are doing something right. That's quite an accomplishment these days. So
yeah.
You talk about, you know, your book is The Hidden Currency of Marriage. That's an interesting way of looking at it. What does that mean, the hidden currency?
Well, as I began to examine my own relationship, I thought, well, you know, because I am so lucky and I've got this awesome wife and relationship and kids and this family life that is really very different than a lot of people are experiencing, I started to think about what did I do or what did she do? What did we do together when we came together? What kind of magic was created and how did it happen? And so I started to explore. I went back to my parents and her parents and thought, you know, let me examine where we came from and what our stories are. And so what I realized is what I decided to do when I met her is I tried to uncover the gifts in her and then always cultivate them and celebrate them as I was doing in my own life because I was about the journey and self-improvement. So literally for the last 30 years, I've asked myself regularly, what is this woman bringing to the table, not only for me, but our family, our community, and you know, what is really special about her? So I'm constantly uncovering her gifts as I am with my own and people around me, and then we cultivate and celebrate those gifts. So I started to think of that as a currency. So, so you know, whether you think of currency as money, or you know, things that you can invest in, and I actually found it to be that when I uncovered the hidden currency in her and in this marriage, I began to experience more value in all areas of my life, not only in the way I felt emotionally and physically, but also financially.
Mm-hmm. So are you fine? I mean, I heard something really beautiful in there that, you know, it's about appreciation, that what you appreciates, you know, whether it's money or a person, that what you put your energy into grows. So it sounds like you are both invested in the success and well-being of your marriage. Is that essential?
You know, yeah, and there's a there are several laws involved here, and so this is really an energetic level that we're playing on. And so, you know, we've heard a lot in recent years about the law of attraction, but really what is at the root of that is the law of vibration. So by me vibrating on that level of seeking out what is good in her, what she offers, and because everybody has a value, but sometimes we fail to see that. So if we focus on the value in this other person, especially our significant other or partner, we are going to vibrate at that level, and then we're going to find that same thing in ourselves and everything we do. So it is really, you are right about that. The vibration of seeking at that level has brought that back to me.
Mm-hmm. And it's an example that you're setting for your children as well.
Without a doubt, yeah. We have two sons. One is 21 and one is 15, and they have totally grown up in a household where it's beautiful to see. I really consider me and my generation like the missing link in this area, because my dad was totally not into any of this kind of stuff. He was just like, I'm living my life the way it is, whatever. There was really no awareness. And then our generation kind of got the awareness. And my kids are growing up in a household where men are emotional. They do discuss everything. The conversation is wide open. They weren't brought up with oppression or silence as a standard. They were brought up watching this whole thing unfold. So it's been beautiful to see how young men in the 21st century, this is kind of like a natural thing for them because of the fertile ground that we've laid.
And it also sounds like you're leaving room for them to be full-fledged people. That, and again, writing for the Good Men Project, we've both seen how men are expected to be, in quotes, you know, and I've cringed at, and I'm sure you have too, the idea of what a real man looks like. I don't know that there is such thing as a real man, but you know, if there was, he would be a full human being, and it sounds like you're modeling that for your son.
We do, and you know, it's hard because even though I know it intellectually, I still can fall back into, you know, wanting them to excel in a certain thing, whether it be academically or in sports. So we have to catch ourselves sometimes and say, you know what, I need to let that young man go down that road and travel that journey on his own without any of my filters or expectations on him. So we have had to back off on, you know, wanting, you know, in quotes, what's best for them. And really let them evolve. They both have girlfriends. You know, my oldest one is, you know, has had several relationships already. So we've had to watch that and kind of stay back and not try to control it or give him the answers or, you know, tell him what we think or put our shoulds on him. And so it's been challenging, even for somebody who does this for a living. I have to watch myself even more and just say, you know what, I'm a dad right now. I'm listening to this guy's story, and I can't control it. I can't, you know, do what my father did, which is say, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do because this is the best advice. And, you know, his advice was always the best advice. But now I let these guys, you know, as long as they're working on a level of high respect and they're super gentlemen. So, you know, if anything, they've learned how to be gentlemen and really, but they are making their own decisions in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe that's the best thing a parent can do. I'm a single parent of a 28-year-old young man, and one of the best compliments that I got was from his girlfriend that said that I've raised a gentleman, that I've raised somebody that's considerate and caring and loving. And it was like, okay, good job, Mom. You know,
that is the best. That is the best compliment you could get.
Yeah, so thank you. So, Rick, we're going to ease into the break, and after the break we're going to continue talking about the nuts and bolts and what it takes to have a healthy, loving, sustained relationship. But in the meantime, I'd love for people to go to your website, and it's themarriageboss.com. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
And what will they find there?
Oh, they'll find all kinds of different information about how I got where I am in the story. And then they'll find terrific resources, links to my podcast, links to the book, links to a bunch of different coaching programs, a blog, tons of different information, online courses, and just a bunch of goodies, lots and lots of free stuff on the resources page, and anything you want to know.
Wonderful. So, folks, visit the site, learn about how to have a sustained, healthy relationship, whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship, whether, you know, no matter who's on the other side of the heart tether. So we'll catch you on the other side of the break.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your story is begging to be told, but do you know where to start? Crystal Lee Quibell is dedicated to helping you achieve your book's publishing dreams. Go to crystalleequibell.com. That's Crystal Lee Quibell, Quibell.com, and sign up for Crystal Lee's newsletter today.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and I've been talking to the marriage boss, Rick Gabrielli. What are some hot-button issues in relationships?
Well, when we first meet, you know, we're trying to figure it all out. So certainly getting to know someone, and when I look back and connect the dots in my own life, I think about a lot of young people and how when you first meet someone, You may not tell them everything about you. You may not tell them, you know, some of the skeletons in the closet. You may not tell them things that you don't want them to know. So we're going to find out things as we get to know somebody. Sometimes even when we're getting married or living with someone, we find these things out. So that's one of the challenges, is really getting to know who the person is. And in this day and age, it's sometimes even harder because, you know, people really hold back information. So that's a really tough one.
Mm-hmm. So kind of keeping secrets, is that part of it?
Yeah. Okay. Integrity, living in integrity and truth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the tough ones. And then once we do get, you know, in a serious relationship, whether we're married and or living with someone, we have to make decisions about money. So that's one of the biggest ones. It's one of the biggest hot buttons is, you know, now we have expenses potentially together. We have a life that we are merging with this other person. So we have to make decisions about money. So it's very hard to agree on, you know, how we should spend it, you know, who's working and what type of job. And, you know, so money is one of the biggest ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then another one is family issues. So how can we agree on how much time to spend with family? I come from an Italian family in New York, so traditionally every Sunday is spent at the mother's house. That's something that my wife had to at least look at and embrace. Now, I wasn't the type of guy to go to my mom's every Sunday, but she was concerned about that, certainly. So family issues, and there's a lot of advice coming from elders. Mm-hmm. So the young couple is going to be getting information on how to live their lives. So depending on how well each person takes that, you know, we don't call them outlaws for nothing.
Right.
So that's one of the issues. And then, of course, if you do have children together, you have to make decisions about children, and parenting styles can differ. So there are a bunch of, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, Edie.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of need for communication between people.
And it can take a long time to really peel off the layers and get to know somebody. The difference between starting out, you know, in a new relationship and then the established relationship, especially once the children leave home, how can a couple navigate those waters?
Well, what I suggest to young people is when they meet, to really get to know a person and try to be as open and truthful as possible. Now, I have to admit, when I met my wife, really was the first time that I ever decided, you know what, I'm going to tell this one everything. So I had a bunch of girlfriends prior to that. And I really, you know, kept to myself in the beginning. I didn't open up until I was, you know, pretty far into the relationship. And it did cause problems because they didn't know me as well as I had hoped. And then they found out things that they might not have liked. And it really caused a lot of problems. So when I met my wife, I was about 25. I remember consciously making this decision. I said, you know what, I'm going to tell this one everything that I possibly can think of, no matter what happened in my past, all my values, my views on life, money, marriage, children, business. And so I made a good decision. So I think that that was a key factor, is to be open and honest with the person when you meet them. Doesn't even matter. It happened to be on the first date. I decided to tell her everything that I could think of. And I was really taking a big chance, because she might have said, you know what, I'm not going to go down this road with this guy. I really didn't know whether she was going to have a second date with me or not. So I had the guts to tell the truth. And I think that's one of the things we need to do. Start with the courage to tell this new person everything that you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me of a song by one of my favorite singer-songwriters. His name is David Wilcox. And it's called Start With The End. And it was the same thing. He had been out on a date with his wife, and they've been married 20-some years now as well. And, the idea is, here's what I would tell you if our relationship was ending, because he thought there wasn't going to be another date. And
wow.
So he spilled his guts. I'll send you the link to the song. But
very powerful.
I think it's called Start With The End.
That's
so
beautiful.
How do you keep a relationship hot? You know, we move from hot buttons to keeping a relationship hot.
Okay, so and this piggybacks on the date thing. So I have this first date. It went really well. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, is she going to go out with me again? And, you know, so I call her, I follow up, and I'm trying in my mind, you know, what do I need to do to get this second date? So I call her up, and, you know, we decide to go out again. She goes out with me again. And literally every day since that first day, I have treated every single date and then every single day the same way. What do I need to do? How do I need to respond, listen to, you know, give her my full attention and really make her number one? So, you know, we talked about this, you know, before the show. You really do have to make that person number one in your life, even if it's while you're with them. She is my first priority, and I decided on that first date, if I get a second one, I'm going to do the same thing to get a third and a fourth, and here we are almost 30 years later. And I still feel the same way. I hope she goes out with me on a date tonight.
Mm.
And so I really keep that in my mind and my heart. So I'm still dating her.
Aww. Yeah, and I think that was part of the secret of my parents' 52-year marriage, was the same thing, that my father felt like he was the luckiest man in the world. He let my mother know, you know, every day that he loved her. He sent her love notes. After she died, I found some love notes that he had sent to her, or had, you know, had given to her, and I know that they were sweethearts. So I imagine that that's how, you know, how you treat Carol, as if she's your, you know, that you're the luckiest man in the world, and hopefully she's the luckiest woman in the world. That, you know, that, you know, you're the one out here talking, but I'm imagining that she might say the same thing.
I think she would, and, you know,
I
it's funny
so.
Because for me, it's almost like, if you can use the analogy of, if you wear a uniform to work, you never have to make a decision on what to wear that day.
To wear, yeah.
And so if you make a decision about your relationship that it's just going to be the most important thing to you, and this person is going to be very important to you, and then it's really easy, because I don't have to think about it. I don't have to wonder, well, you know, did she say something yesterday that maybe puts her at an 8 on my scale? You know,
mm-hmm.
Is there something that happened that maybe I'm going to start to question, or, you know, maybe not put in my 100%? And I've never had to have that. I've never had to have that thought, because I decided this is how I'm going to be, and I've been consistent with it. And really, it has been easier, because there's no compromising in that area.
Right. And how do couples, you know, when one of them perhaps is the breadwinner or makes more money than the other, you know, whether it's a man, a woman, whether it's a same-sex relationship, how do they maintain equal footing? Since that's a, you know, core issue in a lot of relationships, is who brings in more money than the other. You know, how do you help people find balance in the relationship?
Well, one of the things that we talk about when we talk about money and value, and then getting back to the overall currency, is, you know, how do we really value? Let's say, you know, in my wife's case, when my first son was in the womb, she retired from her job as a banker,
mm-hmm.
so. You know, she was a career woman who was in the banking business, and she decided she wanted to come home, and it was her decision not to go back to work, and we were lucky enough to be able to do it. And so I had to think about, you know, what is the value to my family and our home and our lifestyle to have her do that. So it was, you know, because we had decided up front, it was actually pretty easy, because we were thinking about, you know, the value of daycare, and then her going to work. And then, but there's also an intrinsic value and an emotional value of being able to raise your own children. So mm-hmm. any couple today who is wrestling with these issues, you have to decide, you know, what your children might be like, what your family relationships are going to be like. And there's actually a value to be put on that. So to tell you the truth, she has put in way more in the way of emotional and mental and even physical value in raising these children, and being available for our family than I could have ever brought home in a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to measure it out in dollars, now if you can't do it financially, then you do have to make other decisions. So you have to look deeper at the money issues. But you know, when we look at the overall contribution, because as an entrepreneur, there have been years that I've earned more and I've earned less, but her contributions have been consistent, and my boys have been able to have her available to them. So mm-hmm. it's really immeasurable. So I would have to say that as the financial breadwinner, unquote, I'm still trying to catch up to the contributions that she's made and that my kids have had in this family with her being home. So
yeah.
It's very, very important to look at, you know, what are your values and what is the value of having someone who isn't out at a job working? And not to mention, we've had small businesses that she has helped run from home. So she's also been, you know, my CFO, my accountant, my confidant, and certainly, as we talked about earlier, my partner in the laboratory here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how do you differentiate between business acumen and relationship savvy, or are the skills similar in some ways?
You know, they're very similar because we find that collaborating and cooperating and working with, you know, I look at her as a coworker. So here, you know, we have this, you know, the Gabrielli household is like Gabrielli Inc. So certainly, you know, we
yeah.
have to identify our roles. And know what she is good at, and you know, I'm a dreamer, and she's a banker. I'm a salesman. So over the years, we've determined that, you know, when it comes down to decisions requiring stability and level-headedness, that's totally her.
Mm-hmm.
If it's about taking risk or maybe thinking bigger and you know, trying to establish a standard that's higher. And, you know, reaching higher, then that's me. So
mm-hmm.
so like any good business relationship, we have to decide, you know, what are you good at? What are you good at? And then as a team, if you can apply the skills that each person has, there's really no stopping you. So
mm-hmm.
it is very similar. And, you know, because we're entrepreneurs, we live like, you know, freedom is our number one value. And so it's very similar. So a lot of my work is with entrepreneurs, and it's all about communicating. So you do need to have open communication. You do have to start that conversation. And I do see a lot of entrepreneurs have a hard time working with their spouses.
Well,
so
I did.
It is a big problem.
Yeah. I did. My husband and I published a magazine for 10 years from 88 to 98. And I would often say that the magazine was the best and worst thing that ever happened to our marriage because we
mm-hmm.
didn't know how to play nicely together. We didn't know how to work nicely together. So if the opportunity ever arises to be in business partnership with a romantic partner, I have the skills that I didn't have back then in either realm. I've learned both relationship and business skills in the 17 years since he died. So I've been in school, shall we say, for that length of time, and I've learned from people like you who have successful careers and you know, marriages. So I appreciate that. So Rick, as we're closing, believe it or not, is there any little nugget, gem, tidbit you want to share with the audience that you want them to take away?
You know, I like to live by open arms, open doors. So my motto mm-hmm. is open arms, open doors. So I like to keep my heart open. I'm
mm-hmm.
not afraid of it being broken. I'm not afraid of being
yeah.
disappointed. I don't have any expectations of anybody else, including my wife. I only have expectations of myself, and I can never be heartbroken.
Mm. Thank you for that reminder. Oh, my. That really touched me. So, folks, go to Rick's website, themarriageboss.com, and learn everything that you can. Just slurp it all up. Drink it all in, what you can learn from Rick. So thank you so much for being our guest. And you can go to the Good Men Project. And can they just I guess just Google Good Men Project.
Good Men Project. It's goodmenproject.com, and they can just search Rick Gabrielli. They'll find my articles and archives on my work. And if you want, I also, I think I gave you a link. If you want to put it in the show notes, I am giving my book to everyone who's listening to this show today.
Wow, that's quite generous of you. So how do they find that? They just go to your website and then they can download it, or how do we do
that? There's a link that I put in the notes. They have to put that link in. I think it's themarriageboss.com/summit.
And then
if they go to that link, they can just, I think they just have to enter their email and they can get a free copy of my book, either in PDF or Kindle version.
Excellent. That sounds beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Rick. And
thank you for having me, Edie.
My pleasure.
You
big
too,
hugs
honey.
And smooches to you and Carol. Take care.
You too.
So, okay. Folks, next week we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to be talking about our relationship both with God and nature. My guest is an author who wrote a book called Birding in the Face of Terror, and you got to wait till next week to find out what that's about specifically. But it's about seeing God in nature, and my guest is J.P. Revelle. So, again, we'll catch the interview with J.P. next week. I also want to tell you some exciting news on my end. I'm now I'm a co-author of a book called Embraced by the Divine, which today was the Kindle launch. And even before the Kindle launch, this book that was co-authored by 16 of us from all over the world about women who face challenges and bounce back resiliently has topped the Amazon's best-selling list in England, I believe, or in Australia, I think in England too, and has reached the top 10 in the United States. So it's considered a bestseller. And if you want to order the book, which I encourage you to do before midnight tonight, it's $1.99 to download in Kindle, and it's embracedbythedivine.com is the website. And I encourage you to read it. Even if I wasn't one of the authors, I would have loved reading this book. So I thank you so much for joining us. And until next week, I bless you. I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.